Auburn falters late against Tennessee. Can they still get into the field of 68? Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoos podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman. And today, we have to talk about how Auburn just collapses against Tennessee in the SEC tournament second round and the implications of that as far as it relates to the Tigers' NCAA tournament resume and the chances of getting into the field of 68 and how those are slim now. And it's going to come down to what other teams do. Auburn does not control its own destiny anymore, and it will be up to teams losing, and we'll talk about kind of that rooting guide and as we look ahead to Selection Sunday, how Auburn can get in. Make sure you're subscribed to the Barn Podcast Network right here on YouTube and hit the like button, or wherever you listen to your podcast, be sure to subscribe there so you get notifications and all the updates when we release content right here on the Barn Hoops Podcast and every other show that we've got going on here on the Barn Podcast Network. So Tennessee wins by 10. And Auburn led by 10 with 10 minutes to go in this game until Nate Aiment really kind of set the tone with kind of a 10-0 run by himself that ultimately was too much to overcome for Auburn. And going into this week, the Tigers weren't sure, and nobody was quite sure if Nate Aiment was going to be available to play as he was injured. He missed the last couple of games of the regular season. And it was one of those things where they were clearly limiting him because those games were a little less important. Obviously, they were still playing for NCAA or SEC tournament seeding. But when it comes down to it, how much does that really matter when you've got bigger aspirations like the Volunteers do? And he played 32 minutes in this game. I think I saw where Rick Barnes told TV that they just wanted to play him for 16. Well, he doubled that. He played 16 in the first half and 16 in the second half. And that amounted to 27 points and 8 rebounds on 7 of 15 shooting. He made 4 of his 6 threes. He drew 8 fouls. That was the key. Auburn could not slow him down and continue to foul him. And that was the massive the difference in that 20-0 scoring run that the Volunteers had that really put the dagger in Auburn's heart. And yeah, I just really, it's really frustrating because Auburn played so well for 30 minutes in that game, just out of its mind. And we hadn't seen performances like that over the last month or so, quite frankly. The Mississippi State second half was really good, but the first 30 minutes against Tennessee were excellent. And it all started with Tahad Pettiford, who scored 28 points on 9 of 18 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3. I mean, he was red hot. What didn't go well for Pettiford, he did turn the ball over 5 times and only had 1 assist. And amidst that Tennessee run, it was a similar story to what happened against Texas A&M back in January when Auburn blew a 16-point lead against the Aggies at home. And a lot of turnovers. That's what it was. It was turnovers and just the inability to score. And there's going to be a lot of talk about the officiating. Coach Pearl talked about in his post-game presser about Tennessee. They went 7.5 minutes without being called for a foul. And for a team as physical as that, probably shouldn't happen. And the foul discrepancy became clear in the second half. And it was frustrating. And the bench, and I'm imagining it was Coach Pearl, earned a technical foul because of it. And Joe Lindsay just really was not having it and was not adjusting at all to the complaints of the Auburn bench. And as frustrating as it was, it really came down to Auburn not being able to score and the Tigers unable to stop Nate Aiment, who, again, just was unbelievable as a freshman. And he was really the catalyst. Only one other Volunteer had more than 10 points. It was Jacoby Gillespie with 15. He had 3 assists and 1 turnover as well, but he also had 3 steals, which is what led to all of that transpiring. I don't even really want to get too much into this game because we all saw it. It was an excellent 30 minutes, and really, it's not going to matter if Auburn's to get into the NCAA tournament. Then it will have to reset and start playing better to have a chance to win games in the Big Dance. And it's as simple as that. You can't turn the ball over as much. You can't go on scoring droughts. And you go back to the first half against Tennessee where the Tigers had opportunities to grow that lead significantly because Tennessee went on scoring droughts multiple times in the first half of 4 minutes plus. I think the first one was early in the first half, 4.5 minutes. Tennessee took a 7-2 lead. Auburn takes the lead, and then they don't score for 4.5 minutes. And then it happened again later in the first half of Tennessee not scoring for several minutes, and Auburn never really took control. Only had a 7-point lead at halftime, and you felt all right. You knew Auburn played well, and you were pleased with the performance. It felt like Auburn could have really won that game earlier, and it just didn't. And that's why Tennessee had that ability to come back and do what it did in the second half behind Nate Aitman. So Auburn's SEC tournament journey comes to a close. And many thought that Tennessee game was a must win for the Tigers to get into the NCAA tournament field. Obviously, that doesn't happen. But with that being said, we said on the last episode, the bubble is weak. It's pitiful, quite frankly. And that's why Auburn has a chance to get into the NCAA tournament with as many losses as it has. And in that same vein, Auburn also has played a much tougher schedule than several of these bubble teams, has better metrics than a lot of these bubble teams, and has better wins than these bubble teams. And that's why I think the narrative about Auburn is quite frustrating to see nationally, just of how it's everyone's mad about something that hasn't already happened or that hasn't happened yet. And it just doesn't make any sense to me because when you look at it, when you look deep into it, like there's a reason Auburn is talked about in the discussion here for getting in. And I don't think it's completely necessary. Now, if Auburn doesn't get into the field, I also respect that decision. I don't think that Auburn has quite done enough to really solidify itself in the field and has left it up to chance with the committee and what other teams do where you're just hoping and praying that those things go the way you want to. And it's a lot of things that have got to go the Tigers' way. So let's start off with kind of the rest of the bubble and what that looks like. Yesterday was probably the worst day so far for Auburn as far as that goes and getting that at large bid because the last day of the regular season, the last Saturday of the regular season, and the start of conference tournament week had pretty much gone perfectly for Auburn as far as what it needed to happen as far as teams losing and getting some resume boost here and there. But then yesterday was not that when Miami of Ohio won or lost in the MAC tournament to UMass. And that's just critical because Miami's probably going to get into the NCAA tournament as an at-large team with an undefeated regular season. So now there's going to be a second bid from the MAC, whoever wins that conference tournament, and that is a spot that Auburn will not be able to occupy. So that cross that off the list of Miami going and run the table there. There will be another team that makes it into the field from the MAC. Now, the other potential bid stealers are kind of they're really only in the mid-majors. In the Big East, Georgetown and Seton Hall are still alive as I record this, but I don't see them making any kind of run through the weekend. Oklahoma and Ole Miss in the SEC, same deal. And Oklahoma is potentially playing its way in. I still think that they've got to win the whole tournament to do that. So you got to look at the MAC. So the MAC, it's going to happen. The MAC is going to be a bid stealing. But the Mountain West and Atlantic 10 are where things get a little interesting. If New Mexico, San Jose State, Nevada, or San Diego State are to win their conference tournament in the Mountain West, then that's a stolen bid. In the Atlantic 10, it's even more teams. Duquesne, Dayton, St. Joe's, George Washington, St. Bonaventure, all those teams are still alive and could win their conference tournament and steal a bid there. So if you're looking at the Mountain West, as I go to the schedule for today, you're pulling for Utah State to win that tournament. They're in the semifinal against Nevada, and they're solidly in the field. So you want them to win and advance to the NCAA tournament. In the Atlantic 10, you're probably pulling for St. Louis because St. Louis is going to be in the field as well, even as bad as their season ended. But as I record this, St. Louis is down 50-41 to George Washington. So that's one. I think the big thing there is you're in the Atlantic 10 is pulling against VCU. VCU's squarely on the bubble, and that's a game that's a team that you do not want to be contending with for an at-large spot. So that's kind of what the bubble looks like. And when you look at the metrics, it's the record. Obviously, the record is what hurts Auburn by a lot. There's no reason that if in several years where Auburn would even be in the discussion, but because of how things have panned out this year, it is, and that's just a matter of the fact. But when you look at strength of schedule, wins above a bubble, I mean, Auburn is better than Oklahoma State. It's better than Texas. It's better than Virginia Tech, Indiana, New Mexico, San Diego State, Oklahoma, Cal, Stanford, Seton Hall, South Florida. The SMU is probably the team that I definitely look at and I say, okay, their metrics are obviously better than Auburn, and they should get in over the Tigers. But all those other teams I listed, Texas is the one that's really starting to spark discussion because they went 1-0 in the SEC tournament. They lost 4 of their last 5 regular season games. A month ago, you wouldn't have even thought that Texas would end up on the bubble, but here they are. And Auburn has a regular season win over the Longhorns. And the non-conference strength of schedule is where the conversation turns. Texas played the 321st rated non-conference schedule in the country. That is pitiful. And the conversation for me now is, well, if Auburn hadn't played Arizona or Purdue or Houston, and obviously Michigan is another one, but that's in the players' era, so I kind of ignore that. But you look at those 3 games. What if you make those all quad 4 games and Auburn has 3 more wins? Then Auburn's probably solidly in the field. That's the thing. I just think that's where this is going to turn into. A few years ago, there was the conversation about, well, we want to see better non-conference matchups. And Auburn has been at the forefront of both that and playing mid-majors. That's why, again, Bruce Pearl, he traveled to App State. He traveled to St. Louis. He traveled to schools like that or played neutral sites against them or played them in games that hurt Auburn's resume because Auburn lost to that Appalachian State team in 2023, and it cost them a seed line probably. But then it also has gone out to play some of the toughest non-conference schedules in the country. And it just doesn't – people ignore that. And it is what it is. But point being, if Auburn gets left out here, why in the world would you continue to play this tough non-conference schedule when you very, very well may lose them all? And if you do, it's going to cost you an NCAA tournament bid when you could just play an easy quad 4 game at home, win it, and then you're going to be in the tournament at the end of the year. So that's, I mean, do you want the fun non-conference matchups in November or December or not? That's my question to those that are adamant that Auburn should not get in, but Texas should. That's where I'm at. So we'll see what happens on Selection Sunday. It's it'll be interesting. And we'll react to it and talk about it. But if things don't go Auburn's way and Auburn is left out of the field of 68, which I think is probably where I'm leaning towards the committee deciding. I think Auburn should get in over some of those bubble teams. Like I said, in any other year, I would say no. But I think with the way these other teams stack up, the Tigers should get in over them. So if things don't go that way, and Auburn is kind of in limbo. Obviously, the attention is going to turn to, well, will the Tigers play in the NIT? And there's going to be some pros and cons to that. And Stephen Pearl said in his postgame press conference after the Tennessee game that they have not had any internal discussions about that. So that will obviously have to be addressed at some point if Auburn doesn't make the field in the NCAA tournament. Pros here of playing in the NIT if you're not selected. I would say one is you're hopefully at the very least returning a core of Elijah Freeman, Sebastian Williams-Adams, Kevin Overton, Filip Jovic, and those guys are the four that you know are kind of in limbo, and who knows, because they're in their first year with the program. Todd Pettiford would also be awesome to bring back. But those five guys, you want to play them as much as possible together. And getting them more and more action together is obviously going to be huge for this program to develop them and let them gel even more together. And obviously you have guys like Keyshawn Murphy and Keyshawn Hall who don't have any more eligibility, but probably want to finish their career playing in a tournament basketball, in a tournament setting. So, and obviously just playing more games is, you want to keep playing. But then the cons. You go back several years when Alabama hosted Norfolk State in the first round of the NIT and lost. And that was pretty embarrassing for the Crimson Tide. I'm not saying that that's exactly what would happen with Auburn, but it could. You never know. And also, if some guys decide not to play, then your bench is already short enough. That's going to be tough. So I look at that as a pros versus cons thing. You got to weigh them. So we'll see what happens on Selection Sunday, and if Auburn decides to play in the NIT, if it's left out of the NCAA tournament field. But make sure you're subscribed right here. We'll break it down, react to the NCAA tournament selection show, and look ahead after that, no matter what, and see how Auburn will fare after that. So make sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Barn Hoops Podcast.